As you can see, we're going to talk about the secret life of a Christian. There used to be a TV show on, and I don't know if it's still on. I never did watch it much, but it was called The Secret Life of the Super Rich. And they would follow these very wealthy people around for a day or a week or whatever. They would condense that down into a 30-minute or an hour TV program. But they were just showing these wondrous things that they had as possessions. You know, they'd go into their house and, you know, they'd have amazing things in their house. Their appliances would be just unbelievable, out of this world, very handy and useful to use. And so it was interesting, to say the least. But they were just in awe of their possessions, and they followed them around, and, you know, they had these secret things. You didn't know that about them. It was things you wouldn't see every day. For you younger people in the audience, there was an animated show that came out called The Secret Life of Pets, and I never did see that one either, but it just was animated and had these pets, and they did wild things when their owners weren't around, and, of course, it was all in good fun. But everybody has secrets, don't they? And the Bible has something to say about that. There are some things that we should have as secrets, as Christians. Did you know that? There are things in a Christian's life that should be secret, that we shouldn't go out and publicize to everybody else. And then there are other things that should not be secret. And the Bible tells us about those things as well, that there are things that shouldn't be secret at all, but that should be open, especially between us and God. And, of course, we can't keep secrets from God, but sometimes we think we can, don't we? And so we try to do that. You know, we've seen in the news and the headlines in the not-too-distant past some terrible things that people that profess to be religious leaders have done, especially the young people. And these people hid behind the guise of their religious authority, and they pretended to be religious figureheads, and yet all the while they were doing terrible things to children. And the world reacts, and we're surprised about that. We should be surprised about that, because it's a shame to keep those kinds of things secret. It's a shame to even do those kinds of things. But to hide behind the idea of being a Christian, and yet we're doing those kinds of activities. So as we study today, think about your life. Think about the kind of secrets you have. And are those secrets, are you trying to hide those from God? Because you're not doing a very good job if you're trying to hide them from God. Generally speaking, every action that we do, that we perform, can be classified into one of these two categories. They should either be something that's concealed, something that is a secret, something that's hidden from view of everybody else around us, or something that should be confessed. And so I want to talk about just a few things, and obviously we can't go into every action that we could do today, but we want to talk about some things that the Bible discusses as well. And if you'd like to pull out your Bibles, we'll put the verses up here as we go, but we're not going to list them out. Brother Zane did that a few weeks ago, and I kind of liked how that looked on the PowerPoint. So we'll list the scriptures, and we'll read those, of course, but if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, you might pull those out as we go along. The first thing the Bible says that should be concealed in our lives is our alms. And the definition of alms is really just something that we would give to somebody else, particularly to the poor, money that we would give to the poor, or gifts or donations or some kind of charity that we would do to the poor. But in general, we could classify that as any kind of good deed that you would do to someone else, some action that you would perform towards somebody else that would be a good deed toward them. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 1, Jesus says very plainly here, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret may reward thee openly." So Jesus here is telling his disciples of the Sermon on the Mount, as he instructs them about how they should live as Christians, he says, "I want you to do good works. I want you to do alms." But he says, don't sound a trumpet when you're going to do that. Don't tell everyone else that you're going to do that. Conceal that to some degree, he says. You know, the hypocrites and the Pharisees, they would sound this trumpet, and then they would give somebody a gift. They would give them some money. You know, there's not one of us that can deny that that was good of them to do, to give that gift, to give that money. But you know what Jesus said there? They have their reward. Well, what is their reward? Their reward was the slap on the back from everybody that saw them perform that good work. Everybody said, man, look at that person doing that wonderful thing, that wonderful gift. You're so good. You're so wonderful. That was all the reward they were going to get because that was what they were seeking. They weren't seeking praise from God. They were seeking praise from men. And so he says, conceal that. Do that in secret, insomuch so that your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. You know, that's pretty secretive. He says that's how secretive your good works or your alms should be. Continue reading there. He says prayer should be done in secret. In the verse number 5 of Matthew chapter 6, it says here, and when thou prayest, thou should not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and in the corner of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He goes on to say, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they should be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask. And so we come to the topic of prayer. Of course, we have public prayer. We've had public prayer here today. You may be called on in your communities to pray sometime before some function. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. You know, it's quite an honor to have that opportunity to some degree. But if that's the only time you pray, you're not really getting everything out there to God. God knows what you need. The Bible says it right there. God knows what you have need of before you ask. So why does he want you to pray? Why does he want you to pray? If he already knows what you need, it's because God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants it to be personal with you. And when you enter into your closet or the privacy of your home, you can really open up to God. You can confess those things that we're going to talk about in a little while that need confessing. You can share those things with God. When you're praying on the street corner, you can't really do that. And we'll read an example of a man later on that prayed in public and kind of the things that he said. But I never will forget, I was watching a NASCAR race one time. And prior to that race, a guy prayed an extremely eloquent prayer. And the crowd just erupts in this thunderous applause after he's done praying. And I don't know his motives. He may have been very true in how he was praying. But at the end of the day, his reward was that thunderous applause. That's all the reward he's going to get for that prayer. Now, if he enters into his closet and prays personally with God, then his reward is going to be that God hears him and God tends to his needs and God supports him. But prayer is supposed to be something that we conceal to a large degree. We conceal our prayer life. The next thing there is fasting, and Brother Matt studied about this not long ago, but the Bible says there in the 16th verse of Matthew chapter 6, that moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, and wash thy face, that thou appear unto men not to fast, but unto God, or but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, fasting is an interesting thing. The Bible talks about fasting as a tool that can help us to focus our minds, to deny ourselves, to make sure that we are have control over our body and over the urges of our body. And that's the way that the Bible teaches us to use fasting. But you know, sometimes if you were to fast for a period of 2 or 3 days, you know, you are going to become somewhat weak. we miss one meal and start to become weak and want our food and, you know, start to whine a little bit, or I certainly do. But when you fast for a longer period of time, you know, these Pharisees, it said there, they would disfigure their faces. They would make it look like their eyes were sunk in and that they were really suffering and struggling in their fast. And somebody'd say, hey, what's wrong? What's the matter? Well, I'm fasting. I'm serving God, making sure that I'm doing what I need to do, denying myself. He said they have their reward. Somebody says, great job. Proud of you. You're fasting. That's their reward. That's all the reward they're going to get, because that was what they were seeking, the praise of men and not the praise of God. God says, conceal all that. Don't let anybody know you're fasting. They should never know. Wash your face, fix yourself up, make yourself look presentable, and go out and never say a word to anybody about fasting. No matter how long a period of time that is, that's true self-denial. That's when you're really serving God, and that's what He wants us to do. And so He says, conceal these things. Conceal your good deeds. Conceal your prayer life. Conceal your fasting. And somebody says, well, wait a minute. You turn back to Matthew, the 5th chapter. And you start to read there, and you're going to come along pretty soon, and Jesus is going to say, you're the light of the world. He's going to say, let your light shine before men. People don't light a light and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, so it sendeth light unto all that are in the house. He says, let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Well, if I'm concealing all this, how are they going to see it? How are they going to know who I am? How are they going to know that I'm a Christian? And so I think the best way to describe that is let's just say that I leave here today and I get about 2 blocks down the road and I run out of gas. And one of you pull along, use yourself in this example. You pull along beside me, you see that I'm out of gas, you have a gas can in the back of the car. You pull that out, you put a little bit in, that way I don't have to walk all the way down here to the intersection to fill up. You put a little gas in, I get started up, I go down there and fill up with gas. I say, hey, can I pay you back for this 2, 3, 4 gallons of gas that you gave me? Don't worry about it. No, it's the least I can do. You've performed an alm for me, a good work. You've helped me out. And so I see that, don't I? And I'm going to go tell people about that. You know, that person down there from the church, they helped me out. They got me out of a tight spot. They saved me from having to walk a mile and fill up with gas. And so that's letting your light shine. You've done that. Now, what the Pharisees would have done is they would have sounded the trumpet. And they would have flagged people down as they went down and say, hey, I'm helping this guy get gas. I'm putting gas in his vehicle. Or they get on the phone after it's over and they say, you know what I had to do for Brandon today? I had to get him some gas. He ran out on the side of the road and I had to fill him up and I helped him out. That's not concealing that good work. That's seeking the praise of men. And when we do that, you'll get your reward. You'll be rewarded. People appreciate others that perform alms. People appreciate others that do good works. And our natural reaction is to heap praise upon them, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's the only reason you're doing good works, then there is a problem with that. If you're only doing these good works because you want to be seen of men, then that's a problem. And that's why God says conceal those things. Don't sound the trumpet. Don't try to make a big show of these things. Just do them. Just do them. We'll read a verse later on that shows that, you know, secrets have a way of getting out, whether they're good secrets or whether they're bad secrets. And when you do those things in secret and you help people in secret, it's not going to stay secret. The word's going to get out, but it's not going to be because you let it out. It's not because you were seeking that praise of men. It's going to be because you're letting your light shine. All right, let's talk about things we should confess for just a moment. We should confess our sins. In Matthew, the 3rd chapter, in the 6th verse, as people began coming to John the Baptist there, it says that they were baptized in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 6. People came and they confessed their sins. That's not near as much fun as confessing our good works or confessing our prayer life or confessing our fasting, is it? Not nearly as much fun. That's the thing we want to hide. That's the thing we want to keep secret. He says they came and they confessed their sins. Furthermore, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says there, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He's going to forgive us. If we conceal our sins, He's not going to forgive us. You're not going to hide those sins from God. And so that's why people came and confessed their sins. Several times in the book of Acts, we read about people who came and confessed. They confessed their sins. You know, we can read several different lists in the scriptures about some of those sins. There's not one place I could turn to and read you all the sins that are in the scriptures. You got to study the word and you got to figure out what's sin and what's not sin. But the Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. Whosoever therefore transgress the law commits sin. And so when we go against God's word, we commit sin, and He wants us to confess that. Confess that before men and confess that before God. And I'm not going to stand up here and say to you today that you need to confess to men every sin you've ever committed. You probably don't even know every sin you've committed. There are sins that you may have committed that you're very embarrassed about. I know that I have those sins in my life. Things that I'm ashamed of, embarrassed of, that I wish I wouldn't have done. We've got to confess those sins to God. But the Bible also says that we should bear one another's burdens. And so in order to bear one another's burdens, you need to confess those to somebody. Somebody that you trust. You don't have to come up here and get on the mic and say every sin you've ever committed. But you need to find somebody you trust, a fellow Christian. And you need to confide in them and confess those sins to them so that they can help you, so that they can bear those burdens for you. And that goes along to our next thing there, that we shouldn't confess our faults. You say, what's the difference between a sin and a fault? Well, our faults are just areas that we're weak, that we have a tendency to sin. Maybe we haven't sinned there yet. Maybe we sinned there in the past and we've made that right with God, but we still have a tendency to do that. We have a weakness there. The Bible says that we should confess those as well. In James chapter 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We should confess our faults to one another. Especially confess our faults one to another. If you're not going to confess all the past sins that you've committed, at least confide in a brother or sister about your faults, because they can help you. We're to bear one another's burdens. We're to support one another. We're to hold one another accountable. And in order to do that, we need to confess our faults to one another. We need to pray one for another for strength, for endurance, for the ability to not fall victim to those sins. And the last thing that we need to confess is our faith. And that goes back to that letting our light shine. We need to confess our faith. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. People need to know you're a Christian. You know, Brother Britt prayed this morning that we'd have the strength to share our faith with other people. We need to confess that to folks. We don't need to hide that. We don't need to conceal that. It needs to be known that we're a Christian. Now we don't say, I'm a Christian, look at all the wondrous good works I do. No. We confess Jesus before men, and then we go about and we do what we need to do. And we let others see that, and we don't promote that ourselves, and we don't, you know, make a big show of it. But we tell them we're followers of Christ. And furthermore, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, we share the gospel with them. The Bible says there in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We can't hide the gospel. Can't hide the gospel. We've got to share that. I mentioned earlier the problem sometimes is we start to mix these things up, don't we? And we take the things that we're supposed to confess and we move them over into the conceal category. Just about every one of these things we want to conceal, don't we? We want to conceal our sins. We don't want anybody to know that we sin ever. And we want to hide those things and make sure nobody sees that. We want to conceal our faults. We want everybody to think we've got it all together and that we don't have any weaknesses in our life and that we plug right along every day and do everything right. We don't want anybody to know that we have those problems, and so we conceal those things. And unfortunately, sometimes we won't even conceal our faith because it's inconvenient to have to deal with that in front of people. They may talk bad about us. Or they may think I'm a bigot, or they may think this or that because of my faith, and so we're not going to talk about it. I hide it away. Won't discuss it. And then we want to take all these things that we're supposed to conceal and move them over here into the confess category. I want everybody to think about all the good works I do. I want people to know that I pray and that I fast, especially, you know, all these people that might be religious. I want them to know all that, and so I move all that over, and we just get all mixed up. We see the example of someone that had that all mixed up in Luke 18 and verse number 14. Luke 18, actually I've got that wrong. It should be Luke 18 and verse number 10 is where we'll start, and we'll read through verse 14. Luke 18 and verse number 10. The Bible says here, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down into his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I want you to think about that Pharisee's prayer and think about these things that we have written up here for just a minute. Think about his prayer. Think about what he's confessing to God here. It says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He's concealing some things from God. At least he thinks he is. And he goes through this list of things that he doesn't do. He says, I'm not an extortioner, I'm not unjust, I'm not an adulterer. Good for you. Good for you. God knew that. He didn't have to tell God what sins he wasn't committing. God knew that. But he was concealing other things. God, I'm not prideful. He didn't say that, did he? He's concealing that. He didn't want, he may have even hid that from himself at that point in his life. But he sure didn't want God to know about it. He wasn't confessing, God, you know, I've got a problem with pride in my life and I need you to help me with that. Please give me the strength not to be prideful. He didn't pray a prayer like that. Not at all. He goes on to say, I fast twice in the week. Isn't that interesting? God said, conceal that. He wasn't concealing that. He's praying right here in front of everybody. Hey, I fast twice every week. He's pretty proud of that. It was a good work. It was a good deed. But he should have been concealing that, not confessing that. You don't need to pray to God and tell God you fast. How silly is that? God doesn't need to hear that. He knows if you do or if you don't. He knows your motives if you do. You don't have to tell God what you're doing there. He wanted everybody else to hear that. He wanted everybody else to know. Goes on there to say, I give tithes of all that I possess. Doing all these good works. I'm giving all this money away. Telling everybody about it. He was all mixed up, wasn't he? And what did God say? He wasn't justified. He wasn't justified in that prayer. The person that was justified was the one that confessed, God, I'm a sinner. That's all he said. That's all he said. God, I'm a sinner. You think that publican did any good works? Think he ever did any good works? I do. Because God said he's justified. And the Bible tells us that we're justified by works. And so for that man to be justified, he had to have done a ton of good works. He didn't tell God about that in his prayer. He didn't tell God about that. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God said he was justified in his prayer. You see, we can't get all mixed up about what we want to conceal and what we want to confess. And it's hard. Because human nature is just exactly flip-flopped from the way we've got those two screens up there. It's just exactly flip-flopped. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 5. Ephesians 5 and verse number 5. We'll read several verses here. It says, For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who's an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So he lists a few sins here, and he says these things create God's wrath. God doesn't like these things. He says in verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. He said, don't try to hide those things. All those sins, those that are whoremongers or unclean or covetous or idolaters, those that don't have an inheritance, he said, they're in darkness. They're concealing those things and hiding those things in the dark. He says, you walk in light. Make those things seen. Make those things manifest. Confess those things to God. He says in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Those things that they're doing in secret, those sins that he mentioned at the first part of our reading there, they're doing those things in secret, he says it's a shame to even speak of them. Don't have association with those things. He said, you did some of those things in times past, but now you're light. You've confessed those things to God. That's the only way to get it out. Confess it to God. Have your sins wiped away. At the end of the day, we've got to realize that God knows. God knows. You don't have to confess all your good deeds to God. God knows. You don't have to do that. At the same time, you can't hide your misdeeds from God. There's no way to hide them. You may hide them from everybody around you. You may even convince yourself that there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but you cannot hide those things from God. You don't have to pray in front of a lot of people for God to hear you. You can pray in your closet and God's going to hear everything you say. He knows. You can't hide your faults from God. You can't hide your weaknesses. He knows what those are. You might as well confess them and pray for strength to get through them. You don't need to make a big deal out of fasting and all these other kinds of things. God knows when you do those things. And you certainly don't need to hide your faith from those round about you. God knows when we do all those things. In Luke 8 and verse number 17, Jesus here in Luke the 8th chapter is just given the parable of the sower. And so he goes through these different types of ground and he talks about the wayside. He talks about the rock. He talks about the thorns. He talks about the good ground and the type of people that are in all these areas. And I think it's interesting that he works this passage in there as well. In the 17th verse he says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. He said, there's nothing you can hide. These different types of ground, if you fall into one of these areas, he knows. You can't hide that. He knows. So if you're on the wayside, the devil's coming and stolen the word out of your heart. God knows that. You may hide it from everybody else, but God knows. If you're on the rock and you've received the Word of God, but you didn't have root and you've kind of drifted away and fell into temptation, you may hide that from everybody else, but God knows. There's no secret that won't be revealed to Him, He says. And if you're being choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, God knows that. He knows that. You can't hide it from Him. And if you're bringing forth fruit in a good and honest heart, and you're enduring with patient continuance, He knows that as well. You don't have to confess those things to Him. He knows those things. In the 90th Psalm, in verse number 8, this is a Psalm of Moses. You know, David wrote many of the Psalms, but in this case, Moses wrote this one, and I think it's very fitting that Moses said this. He said, "Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance." You know, Moses saw the children of Israel try to hide things from God. And he saw it come to light every time. Every time. You know, the children of Israel had been exposed to all these false gods in Egypt. And some of them held on to a little bit of that. And they would pull out one of those images in their tent. And they would worship that image in secret. Sometimes they got more open with it, but sometimes they'd try to do it in secret. Moses said, "Every one of our iniquities you've brought to light. In the light of Thy countenance, our secret sins, everything is wide open before You, God." God knows. We're not going to hide that from Him. It's a hard realization to come to terms with because we think in terms of the people around us. We think about being able to hide it from everybody else as long as everybody else. And that starts young. Long as mom and dad don't find out, I'll be okay. Long as they don't know, I'll be safe. And then it's other people. As long as our friends don't know, I'll be okay. As long as, you know, whoever, as long as the church don't know, it'll be just fine. God's the one we should be worried about. And He knows. We cannot hide it from Him. Everything is going to be revealed in the judgment. All those people you thought you were trying to hide it from, they're going to hear it on the day of judgment too. But God is going to reveal it. Every work, whether it's good work, whether it's bad work. In Romans chapter 2 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to My gospel." He's going to judge the secrets of men. That's secrets on both sides of that equation. That's the secrets we should keep. All those good works. If you've concealed those things and those things are secret to so many, He's going to judge you according to that. And it's going to be revealed. And what a glorious day that'll be. But if all those sins are there as well and those have all been kept secret, He's going to judge us according to all those things as well. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 14. Ecclesiastes 12 and 14, the wise man of old says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Every secret is going to come out in the day of judgment. The good secrets and the bad secrets, they're all coming out. And we're going to be judged according to those things. What are you concealing today and what are you confessing? Do you have those two columns mixed up? Because if you do, you need to do something about that in your life. We can help you do something about that today. If you want to come and confess your sins and confess your faults, be buried with Him in baptism and have your sins washed away, we can certainly help you with that today. That's the only way to get into the light. That's the only way to have those things washed away. That's the only way to get away from all those unfruitful works of darkness is to have those. Let the blood of Jesus cover it. Let the blood of Jesus wash it away. But if you choose to conceal those things and continually hide those sins, then it's going to come out in judgment someday. The final verse I want to read is in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 24. The Bible says, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after." You have a choice today. You can come and confess your sins and you can let Jesus take care of it. And He'll take care of it today. He'll wash those sins away. They'll be forgotten. they'll vanish from existence. Or you can keep those hidden and concealed, and they're going to come out of the day of judgment. He says that some men's sins are open beforehand, going to judgment. That's what I want. I want my sins to have been, let's get it out of the way now. Let's not wait till the day of judgment. And some follow after. If your sins follow you to judgment, you have got trouble. Brothers and sisters, you've got trouble. Verse 25 there says, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Some people say they make all their good works known beforehand, and some, when they go into judgment, those are going to be there. In fact, he says they can't be hid. You do that good work to somebody, they're going to tell someone else about it. But the point he's making again is the same that we've tried to make this whole study. Don't publicize that yourself. Let others speak of your good works. The Bible says, let another man praise thee, not thy own lips.